On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
So let's turn once again to that chapter, Luke chapter 2. And the verse that I want to highlight is verse 29. Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." I want to ask you a question in all seriousness tonight, whether you are very young or you're a little bit older. The question is, what kind of old person do you want to be? What kind of old person do you want to be? Now, I know that immediately that's put the heckles up, some of you, because you don't want to think about it. Most of us are fighting against that all of our lives. We have an over 50s club, but we don't see many people there in their 50s. Churches have over 50s clubs, which tend to have people probably quite a bit older than 50. Because people in their 50s don't want to go to the over 50s club, because they don't want to think of themselves as 50. I've turned 50 this year, and I have to think, you know, having qualified for this club, it's a great club, and I do recommend it to you all. But, you know, the strange thing is, since I turned 50, I think about dying more than I did when I was 49. It's a strange thing, because I'm over the halfway point. But as I think about the beginning of Luke's gospel, there are four old people that I want to be like. Zachariah and Elizabeth. And there's the two people in the reading tonight, Simeon and Anna. What kind of old person do you want to be? I know that's still annoying some of you. You're fighting against it. You're saying, this sermon's not for me. I'm way too young for this sermon. Why is Alistair wearing a suit? That's an old man thing. I've got my jeans on tonight. But you know, I was 21. I was sitting in church. It was a youth fellowship meeting, actually. And I'd just become a Christian. And the speaker said, don't waste your 20s. Don't waste your 20s. Give your 20s to God. And he said, I wasted my 20s. I mucked about. I didn't put God first. And it was only in my mid-30s that I started to put Christ first. And I wish I'd done it earlier. I used to think when I was a teenager that it would be really good to become a Christian on my deathbed. Just at the point where I was slipping away, I could say the prayer and I'd be into heaven. Isn't that such a poor understanding of what it means to be a Christian? That we're simply trying to get some sort of ticket to eternal life. But if we understand the one who loved us and gave himself for us, why wouldn't we want to give him everything from a very young age? Now, I don't know much about the young life of Anna, but it says that she was a widow until she was 84. I think that can also be translated, she was a widow for 84 years, which would make her even older. And it says that she never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Now, tomorrow, I'm spending most of the day taking a dear relative of mine into a care home, a nursing home, leaving her house that she's been in for the last 50 years. Now, that is going to be an emotional experience for all of us. But I was there recently when the doctor visited, and I'm not sharing anything confidential here in case you're getting worried. Doctors have a set of questions that they ask. They go through a checklist, so you will not know what they were talking about. But one of the questions was, how's your mood? Are you depressed? My dear relative looked to the doctor and said, I can talk to God. Why would I be depressed? The doctor was really shocked. He was not expecting that. But you know, that for me has really stood out. I can talk to God. I'm in relationship with God. And whatever else is happening to my relative who has been a widow for all of my life, at least 50 years, she can talk to God. Can you talk to God? Can you talk to God? It says in the Psalms, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him." I think of these two old people as quite energetic. I think of Anna moving around the temple. I don't know if we didn't have Zimmer frames then, did they? But she's moving around the temple, and it says that she is speaking about the child, Jesus, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Saying, this is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. He's here today in our presence. And we've got Simeon who takes the child in his arms and he says, "This is the one who will be a light to the whole world." It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that God shines his light, his revelation into our hearts so that we can see the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That we can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, for the apostles, like the Apostle John, who lived with Jesus, who saw him crucified, and who saw him come back from the dead, he was able to say in John's Gospel, chapter 1, "We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." And Simeon is able to say, "I have seen God in the flesh. God who came to take human form, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but became human and took the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." He saw him in the face. He saw his face. He saw the face of God in the child Jesus. But we won't see that now. We will see it as believers in the future when we leave this earth to go to be with Jesus. C.S. Lewis, speaking about the promises, he says that the Bible has got five promises. First one is that we shall be with Christ. The second one, that we shall be like him. Third one, that we shall have glory. Third one is that we shall be fed at a great banquet. And the fifth one, that we shall have some sort of position of responsibility in the universe. But C.S. Lewis says, why any of these except the first? Why any of these except the first? Can anything be added to the experience of being with Christ? And I think that's something of the joy and the comfort that is seen here when Simeon says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He is with Christ. And he doesn't need anything else. He's been waiting for this moment all his life. And he says, "Now I'm ready to die. You may now dismiss your servant in peace." I I want to ask you, have you got peace in your life tonight? Can you truly say that you are at peace with God? And that you're at peace with others? There is only one who can give you that peace, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of old person do you want to be? Someone who is at peace with God and at peace with all others, leaving this earth having no regrets, having experienced God's grace and having shared that grace with others. How do we become like Simeon and Anna, fresh and green into old age? We meditate on God's word, and we open our lives up to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but you read that scripture tonight when you go home, and you'll see that the promises of God were on their hearts and in their prayers every day, and they were completely open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The things they did because they were moved by the Spirit to do them. And this is pre-Pentecost. This is before the Spirit was poured out on all people. The people who had the Spirit in this level of measure were like the prophets of old, or John the Baptist. But here we have these devout, prayerful, old people receiving prophetic revelation about who this child is. And they imagine, imagine what it must have been like for Mary. You know, when the Magi had come to the house and they'd brought these gifts, and it says that she treasured up all these things in her heart. She's treasured up. She had the angel Gabriel's visit to, isn't that enough for your whole life? But no, she gets the visit from the Magi. She treasures these things up in her heart. And then these faithful and devout Mary and Joseph, they visit the temple and they have this amazing conversation with this man Simeon. And they marveled. They were amazed. And then there was an edge to the conversation, because Simeon, after blessing them, said to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." What kind of old person did Mary become? Well, you know that she had to stand at the foot of the cross and watch her boy, who was the perfect man, cry out in agony. But then she had the joy of being there on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out, and when the gospel was proclaimed to all the nations. And I wonder what she thought on that day when she saw 3,000 people turning to the Lord. I wonder if she remembered what Simeon had said, that this Jesus will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles, to the whole world, from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. So as we think about our own lives and we think about how we can be fresh and green, how we can be radiant people, how we can be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, full of the Word of God, it's bound to have an effect. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life with other forms of media which will not sanctify you. Meditate on God's word. Get it into your heart. Call out to God. Ask him to reveal stuff to you. Ask him to lead you and guide you. And he will take you on a great adventure. Most people in the Old Testament, in fact, all people in the Old Testament, they died without seeing what had been promised. How amazing it is that these two people, they died after seeing what had been promised. They saw it. And they are truly unique in Scripture. But we have the Lord's table, and we have this wonderful, wonderful time where we can regularly remind ourselves of what it's all about. And I'm sure that those who are a little bit older can remember times when they've gathered around this table, maybe the last 40 years in this church, or maybe you can think of times when you had communion in other churches. And what we're meditating upon here tonight is the main thing. We're thinking about